que me tenía que enfrentar prácticamente cada semana. Otra de las cosas que más me gustó del máster fueron los dos Bound Town a los que asistí, porque esas experiencias eran siempre inolvidables y es una manera de darle un empujón importante al inglés.
Ya lo has oído, apúntate al máster de inglés profesional, ahora por videoconferencia. La misma calidad e intensidad, pero sin perder tiempo en desplazamientos. Entra en grupobaugan.com e infórmate.
Esta es La Hora Extra, con Richard Vaughan.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to the Extra Hour, Friday night. Yes, sir. Here we are again, once again together on a Friday night. How many people listen to me on Friday night? I really don't know. Maybe 10,000 people, I don't know. But it doesn't matter, I enjoy it, even though it's Friday night. Yes, but I like the Extra Hour, I really do. It's my favorite show. Why is it your favorite? Well, because you ask me a lot of interesting questions. Not only frivolous questions or silly questions, but you ask me some interesting questions. Well, like what? I don't know. Could Hercules perform incredible feats? Yes, he could. Excuse me, Richard, I didn't understand your question. Well, I did. It doesn't matter. I don't care if you understood it or not. I understood it and I answered it. I said, yes, he could. Yes, he could what? Perform incredible feats. Who? Hercules. Who? Hercules. Ando, Hercules. Yeah, Hercules. What about Hercules? Listen, clean out your ears, okay? The question is, could Hercules perform incredible feats? Incredible feat. Pies increíbles. No. Incredible feat? No. Incredible feats. Feats. What's that? Proezas, hazañas. How do you spell it? Well, in singular, feat. Una hazaña. A feat. Wow. ¿Y un pie? A foot. Oh. ¿Y dos pies? 2 feet. ¿Y dos hazañas? 2 feats. ¿Y una hazaña? 1 feat. 1 feat, 2 feats, 3 feats. Pies? 1 foot, 2 feet. Sin ese. Oh, complicated. No, it's not. You simply need to familiarize yourself with it, see it and hear it a lot, read it a lot, and it's normal. So the question is, could Hercules perform, realizar? Could Hercules perform incredible feats? Yes, he could. Yes. But Hercules never needed to go through the university system in Spain. I don't know if he could have passed. And Hercules never needed to get, I don't know, a special permit from the Spanish public administration. He didn't have to operate through the Spanish bureaucracy. I think he could perform incredible feats, but I don't know if today he would be able to navigate successfully the Spanish ministries and bureaucratic offices and bureaus. Who knows? Question, will Spain invade Portugal within the next 5 years? No, it won't. No, it won't. Could you imagine? Imagine that the current Prime Minister of Spain gives an order to invade Portugal. He calls the top commanding generals of the army, the navy, and the air force to the Moncloa Palace and says, gentlemen, I would like to invade Portugal and take the country. The generals would say, excuse me? Yes, our government, we believe it's a good moment to unite the Iberian Peninsula into one. Can you imagine the reaction of the general of the, well, the top general of the armies and the top general of the Air Force and then the top admiral of the Navy saying, you've lost your marbles. Usted ha perdido sus canicas, means está loco. I think you've lost your marbles. And then the prime minister said, but we are clearly stronger than Portugal. We're in a position to conquer that country. Yes, but I don't think Brussels would agree. What difference does Brussels make? I don't care what Brussels thinks, Bruselas. I don't care what they think. My dream is to unite Spain and Portugal into a country called Iberia. And I think the quickest way is simply to invade Portugal and to make it part of Spain. It was part of Spain from 1570 to 1640, for 70 years. It was part of Spain. Well, let's bring it back. You know, I don't think the prime minister would be able to carry out that proposal, because I don't think the three major branches of the military would agree with that. Besides, this is a silly scenario, because it would never happen. Well, never. I doubt it. But the question here is, will Spain invade Portugal within the next 5 years? Well, of course not. Spain won't. Will Morocco invade Spain within the next 5 years? No. Will Morocco invade Melilla or Ceuta within the next 5 years? Probably not. Probably not. I doubt it. Richard, yeah. Do you rub shoulders with important people? No, I don't. I could, probably, but I don't. No froto hombros con gente importante. ¿Cómo? ¿Qué es frotar hombros? Bueno, ¿qué crees? What do you think? No lo sé. Es codearse con. Anda. No, no me codeo con gente importante. I don't rub. Rub is frotar. De ahí viene el medicamento Vix Vaporub. Porque es frotar con baus y vapor. Vix Vapor Rub. So to rub shoulders. Shoulders son hombros. So to rub shoulders is codearse. And your question is, if I rub shoulders with important people. No, I don't. Well, Richard, you're in a position in which you could rub shoulders with important people. Maybe. But I'm not interested. It's not my style. No hago lobby. Never. That's not my style. If people are interested in what I offer, they can come to me. I'm not going to go knocking on their door. So I'm reactive in this particular way. I'm not proactive. And I don't rub shoulders with important people. Have you ever had a full body massage? I think so. I think I've had a full body massage. But I don't like massages. Why not? No, I don't like to have a massage. Why not? Well, there are two reasons. Number one, I don't like people touching me, except people I have an intimate relationship with. So I don't feel totally comfortable with with whom I'm not already intimate, you know, giving me a massage. But second, it's interesting that I have had in my life very few massages. Maybe 20 in my life. This is true. And 10 of those massages were on doctor's orders. So they don't really count. A doctor, well, this is interesting. Not 10, maybe 7 or 8 of the massages were on doctor's orders. And I've never been convinced. Massages have never helped me. Maybe you feel a little bit better for 2 hours and then it's back. The same problem. But I've noticed that every massagist has a different technique and a different approach for the same problem. Cada maestrillo tiene su librillo. And it reminds me of makeup artists. A makeup artist is una maquilladora. You know, I've been on television. I mean, I have been with maybe 70 different makeup artists. 70 personas diferentes me han puesto maquillaje para, seguro, hasta 70 o más in the last 15 years. Not a single one does it the same as the next. Every single makeup artist approaches putting on the makeup in a different way. Exactly, and it's very noticeable. Some of them start under the eyes, others start in the forehead, others start with liquid, others start with powder. And the fastest and least conscientious makeup artists, las más rápidas y menos concienzudas, the fastest and the least conscientious or thorough makeup artists are the ones who work in Televisión Española, in the public sector. Bop, 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 ya está. 30 seconds. Yes. Now, the best makeup artist I remember was Jaume from Valencia. Because if from Barcelona it's Jaume, the pronunciation, but from Valencia, Jaume. And he was the only male makeup artist, and he was an artist, okay? He spent, oh my God, 15 minutes, is ya está bien, Jaume, termina. No, and he was meticulous, very thorough, but he was good, okay? Now, in massagists, osteopath, and physical therapy, and every single one is different. And they have never been able to help me. And I remember in one case, I went to a neurologist from Los Cervicales. And he recommended a series of physical therapy massages in the same clinic, and I went downstairs on the basement floor. And so he gave me a ticket with 10 massages, but he recommended 20. And he said, look, complete the first 10, and then we will give you another ticket for 10 more massages. Fine. So I went down, and in that massage area, the physical therapy area, there were 3 girls, maybe 28 years old. And they looked at the specifications from the neurologist, and one of them started giving me a massage. And she was paying no attention to me. She was talking with the other 2 girls. And, you know, I was there. I was like a mueble, you know, like a piece of furniture. After 7 days going, I said, screw it. And I didn't go anymore. Because I didn't get the impression that they were very conscientious or serious about what they were doing. They were having a good time. The 3 young massagists down in the clinic. And then with other people, I find every one of them is different. And half of them say, no, yo fui masajista para Real Madrid. It seems like, I mean, medio España fue masajista Real Madrid. It seems everybody says that. Everybody claims to be. And so, I have not had much luck with this physical therapy or osteopathy. Well, and I've tried maybe 20 times or 25 or something like that. And forget it. It's not for me. I'm not made for massages, I guess. Another question. Yeah, you have more questions? Yeah. Is there more than one set of sheets in your house? You asked me that question yesterday, I remember. Is there more than one set of sheets in my house? Well, yes, there is. There's more than one set of sheets. Hay más de un juego de sábanas en mi casa, hombre, por supuesto. A set of sheets. You know, it's interesting, this question. I know that 90% of the listeners, if they are taking note, they will take note of the expression set of sheets, juego de sábanas. But set of sheets is the least important element in this sentence. Is there is the most important. The second, more than. In your house is the third. Spanish people, they take note of the least important elements. Hombre, juego de sábanas, dices set of sheets. Yeah, solo dices una vez cada 10 años. You don't need that. Ahora, is there? Eso sí. More than? Eso sí. That's the mechanics of the language. But a set of sheets? However, the people take note of the least important areas. They think they know the other. But then they don't use it well when they speak. Yes, I don't know how many sets of sheets there are in my house. Maybe four for my bed. Maybe four sets. I really don't know. I don't know. Hey, Richard, yeah. Is life worth living? What a question. Well, of course, I don't know. For me, yes. Life is worth living. ¿La vida vale la pena vivirla? ¿Merece la pena vivir la vida? Is life worth living? I think it is. Now, we should go to the favelas in Rio de Janeiro and ask that same question. Excuse me, Mariano, is life worth living? Gabi, is life worth living? Probably the majority would say yes. And then we can go to Karachi in Pakistan. Is life worth living? Then we can go to Surabaya on the island of Java in Indonesia and ask the same question. Is life worth living? I think every place people would say yes, life is worth living. Probably 90% of the people would say yes. Everywhere in China, in Russia, in Canada, in Paraguay. In Asunción, Paraguay, yes, life is worth living. Another question. Richard, does a gold nugget weigh more than a feather? Well, yes. A gold nugget weighs more than a feather. Of course. Richard, what's a feather? Una pluma. Anda, of course, yeah, feather. Yes. And gold, a gold what? I said a gold nugget. Nugget. Yeah, you know, in McDonald's, those chicken nuggets. Uy, ¿eso qué son? Son pepitas. En este caso, pepitas de oro. Gold nugget. Oh, so the question is, si pesa más? Yes. No, congratulations, now you understand the sentence. Does a gold nugget weigh? Pesar. More than a feather? Yes, it does. How much does a feather weigh? Well, it depends on the size of the feather. Okay. A big feather, like from a condor. I don't know. It probably weighs 5 grams. 5 grams. Okay. Yeah, all right. 5 grams. That's how much. And how much does a gold nugget weigh? It depends on the size of the nugget. Every gold nugget has a different weight. Every gold nugget weighs more or less than other gold nuggets. Richard, have you ever found a gold nugget? Well, it depends on your definition of gold nugget. Figuratively, yes. Literally, no. What do you mean figuratively? Well, my wife is a gold nugget. Oh, no. Okay. All right. No, but physically, no. I've never owned or found a gold nugget. By the way, Richard, yes. Will you live beyond the 22nd century? Are you kidding? Why do you ask me such absurd questions? No, I won't live beyond the 22nd century, nor the 21st century. Yes. To live beyond, no viviré más allá del siglo XXI, no way. Ni siglo XXII. You said the 22nd. The 22nd century starts in 180 years. No. No, that's not true. The 22nd century starts in 79 years. But to live beyond the 22nd century would mean I would need to live for another 179 or 180 years. And so I don't think it's very likely that I will live for another 180 years. Maybe for another 100 years, yes. But not another 180. Hey, Richard, do Christians worship in synagogues? You know, where do you make up, where do you get these questions? I mean, do Christians worship in synagogues? Come on. You know they don't. Jews worship in synagogues. But what's the verb worship? To worship is rendir culto. Adorar, to worship. I worship. Christians worship the Christian God. And Jews worship the Jewish God. And the Jews worship in synagogues, and Christians worship in Christian churches or cathedrals or basilicas or chapels, capillas, chapels, to worship. Yes, worship is a religious word. Worship. It can be used outside of religion, but it means una veneración total, to worship. Te venero, te rindo culto, to worship. But no, Christians don't worship in synagogues. They worship in Christian churches and similar. All right. Have there been any prolific authors in French history? Could you repeat that question, please? Yes. Have there been any prolific authors in French history? Oh, yeah, a lot. Rabelais, Molière, my God. Candide, what's his name? From the French Enlightenment. Voltaire, Rousseau, and of course the 19th century novelists, Alexandre Dumas, Victor Hugo, Balzac, Honoré de Balzac, Flaubert, Stendhal, Guy de Maupassant. There have been a lot of prolific authors in French history. The most prolific probably was Victor Hugo. I mean, he never stopped writing. I mean, this guy wrote daily articles in the press, in the newspapers. He wrote several novels. He wrote poetry. He wrote essays. I mean, I've heard that it's very difficult to read in a lifetime everything he wrote. So he was writing as fast as I can read. Victor Hugo is probably the most prolific. Not my favorite, because he was a little bit too political, and his works are a bit dated for me, some of his works, but I have read very few. And my favorite French author, Flaubert. But I've only read Madame Bovary. but I was impressed by the novel. I've read only one novel by Balzac, and Mi Prima Bette, my cousin Bette. I can't remember the name of it anymore. I'm forgetting the name. Ma Cousine Bette. Yeah, de Honoré de Balzac. La Prima Bette. Bette. It's a novel. It's interesting. But I need to read more, because Balzac, I think, is probably a better novelist than Flaubert. But I need more time. I just need more time in my life to read everything these people have written. It's incredible what they have written. I'm running out of time for my first half hour, but I'll be back for the second very, very soon, in 4 minutes. So I'll be right back.
¿Quieres aprovechar el tiempo en esta nueva normalidad y resolver tu viejo problema con el inglés? Apúntate al Máster en Inglés Profesional, ahora en modalidad de videoconferencia. Los mismos profesores, la misma calidad, la misma intensidad, pero ahora desde tu casa. Infórmate en grupobaugan.com. Máster en Inglés Profesional de Vaughan.
Urban Camps, aventuras e inglés. Este verano no dejes que se te escapen.
Nuestro curso de inglés por videoconferencia es la opción perfecta para perfeccionar tu inglés en poco tiempo y sin perder tiempo en incómodos desplazamientos. 100% online, por videoconferencia, desde cualquier lugar. Grupos de 6 personas como máximo, horario de mañana o tarde, prueba de nivel gratuita. ¿Qué más quieres? Nosotros no podemos darte más facilidades. Ahora te toca a ti. Entra en grupobaugan.com e infórmate sobre nuestro curso de inglés por videoconferencia.
Avon English Class is not the same as other English classes. In Avon English Class, time is optimized to the max. Every minute counts for your company. Every minute counts for your English. It's all a question of mathematics. The more you practice key structures of the language in every class, the more confident you will be when you use them in real life, and the more effective you will be as a communicator in English. And in this global world of ours, communicating effectively is absolutely key to success. By means of face-to-face classes or video conference classes, Vaughan will make all the difference for your English. And you will make all the difference for your company.
Más información en Barcelona en el 933398687. En Madrid en el 911335831.
You're listening to Vaughan Radio.
Estás escuchando
Vaughan Radio. You're listening.
Lo que escuchas,
Vaughan Radio.
Don Quijote y Sancho Panza. Cleopatra y Marco Antonio. Adán y Eva. Romeo y Julieta. Vaughan y Disney. ¿Eh?
Sí, ya lo has oído. Vaughan y Disney siguen colaborando para que tus hijos aprendan inglés mientras se divierten. La magia de Disney con la calidad de Vaughan. Entra en grupobaughan.com e infórmate.
Hey, have you heard about our trimestrales? No? Well, let me tell you all about them. The program lasts 3 months. Eso es, dura 3 meses. Many different timetables to choose from. From Monday to Friday, Saturdays in the morning. And you'll have plenty of homework. And your teacher will correct your homework and check it to make sure you're making progress. Find out more now. Our trimestrales at Vaughan. Small groups, only 4 to 6 students per class, and the class is focused on speaking and using the language. Contact us and find out about trimestrales with one of our dynamic Vaughan teachers. You won't regret it. No te arrepentirás. More information at grupovaughan.com.
Si lo que quieres es resolver el inglés y no solo dar clases año tras año, llama a Vaughan. Somos los únicos que te diremos la verdad, te marcaremos el camino.
Prueba el método Vaughan con nuestro curso trimestral. Elige entre nuestra modalidad presencial o por videoconferencia. Y el resto, déjanoslo a nosotros. 3 meses de listening y speaking con los mejores profesores del mercado. Entra en grupovaughan.com e infórmate. Curso trimestral de Vaughan.
Extra con Richard Vaughan.
Hello and welcome back. Okay, our last half hour before the weekend. Questions you asked, I don't remember what you asked me before the break, but have you brought any more questions for the second half hour? Sure. Are you a religious fanatic? No, I'm not. Are you a fanatic about anything? Fanatic? No. I have my pet peeves. Excuse me, Richard, what are pet peeves? Pet means animal domestico, a cat, a dog, a pet. The teacher's pet is el favorito, la favorita del profesor, the teacher's pet. But pet also means favorito, como pet peeve means la cosa que más me irrita, the thing that irritates me more than anything. To peeve, I'm peeved, means I'm very irritated. So my pet peeve is the thing that irritates me the most. I don't know. I really don't know. I guess heavy traffic irritates me. Noisy restaurants irritate me. But I don't have anything that's a pet peeve. Well, yes. Bare floors. I've spoken about this. Very recently I spoke about it. Bare floors. Bare, escrito bare, significa desnudo, o sea, sin nada. Bare. A bare floor is un suelo desnudo, suelo sin alfombras, sin moquetas, sin nada. However, that's what Spanish people prefer. Spanish people prefer, even many 5-star hotels in Spain have bare floors. You see, the way you grow up, the first 15, 20 years of your life have such a strong influence on what you like or prefer for the rest of your life. I grew up with plush carpets. Plush means mullidos. Moquetas o alfombras grandes mullidas. It's really nice. Very, very, very nice to the feet. I always was barefoot. People in the United States are always barefoot at home. They don't wear slippers or thongs or things like that. Many times they're barefoot. And to walk on a bare floor here, you have to have slippers. Slippers are zapatillas, alpargatas, flip-flops. How do you call them? What do you call these things? Chanclas. Yeah. You have to wear something. And when I was at home, all my life, I never wore shoes at home. I was totally barefoot or only wearing white gym socks, which is athletic socks, white, always. And so I never wore shoes. The only time I wore shoes was when I left home. I never wore shoes at home, even sitting at the table having dinner or lunch. And so that's how I grew up. When I came to Spain, everything was bare. Everybody wore shoes everywhere, all the time. And fine. I can understand it along the Mediterranean. You live in Alicante, Almeria. It's better to have, you know, nice, attractive ceramic floors or something. Yeah, that I can understand. Terrazo bueno. Yes. It's aesthetic. It's, and I understand also from the cleaning point of view, it's much easier to clean a bare floor. You sweep it and mop it. It's very easy. But it's a pet peeve. If I go to a hotel, but a nice one, you know, a 5-star hotel, a 4-star hotel, and the floor is bare, and there's a little estidia, there's just a little mat next to the bed. But of course, they offer slippers and a bathrobe. But still, pero así, I like. It's just I've been brought up in a different culture, in a different set of customs, and so I've never. It's a pet peeve, but I'm not a fanatic about anything. You asked me originally if I was a religious fanatic. No, I'm not. I'm not religious. I'm not a fanatic about anything. But there are certain things that irritate me, like noisy restaurants, bare floors, and heavy traffic, etc. But that's life. You have to live with these things, so I am flexible enough to live with them with no problem. Another question. Richard, does eating spaghetti ensure a long life? No. No, eating spaghetti doesn't ensure a long life. Well, the Italians live longer than almost anybody in the world. But I don't think it's because they eat spaghetti. Maybe a better question is pasta, because the Italians eat tagliatelle and other types of pasta dishes, not necessarily spaghetti. It doesn't ensure a long life. What ensures a long life? I don't know. I think that if you want to live a long life, do moderate exercise, eat a balanced diet, don't overeat, and stay away from stress. Never stay in a company or in a job where you have a bad boss or a stressful environment. And finally, try to develop a positive outlook on life, in which life is enjoyable. And I think you'll live long. If you have a positive outlook on life, it's psychological, I think, more than physical. Some people are so concerned about their diet that they become neurotic, neuroticos did, on their diet. You know, trying to choose the right types of foods and vegetables and things. And they become, and I think that they probably live less because of the neurosis that they develop. Other people are worried about, you know, exercise fanatics, hablando de fanáticos. It's interesting, fanatismo es el sustantivo. Fanatismo. Curioso. Si se dice fanatismo, entonces habría que decir fano y no fanático. Fano. Yes. Un fano, no un fanático. It's strange because fanatic is fanaticism. Fanaticismo is what we say in English, fanaticism. But in any case, getting back to long life, I think it's a psychological question is more important than the physical. Also love or care and having friends. I don't know. I think it's much more psychological, the outlook on life. But don't become obese and avoid stress. I think that's the most important. Doing moderate exercise, I don't think you need to do strong exercise. But you never know. And also, it's a genetic question, too. There are certain families that enjoy longevity and other families that don't enjoy longevity. So you never know. More questions. Richard, were the Chinese leaders in business strategy in the 19th century? That's a strange question. Are you asking me if the Chinese were leaders in the world in the area of business strategy in the 19th century? No. The 19th century in China was probably the worst century in Chinese history. The Ming Dynasty? No, the it wasn't the Ming Dynasty. I can't remember the name of the dynasty. The Qing Dynasty or something lasted until the early 19th century. Excuse me, the early 20th century. I can't remember which dynasties. Chinese dynasties. I can't remember the name of the... It lasted 400 years. Let's see. Chinese dynasties. The timeline. Let's look at this. All right. Let's look at the list of Chinese dynasties. Let's find the most recent before the... let's see. From... Okay, the Qing. Yeah, the Qing dynasty. Started in from 1644 to 1911. It's a long time. That's almost 300 years. The Qing dynasty. Qing, escrito Qing. Q-I-N-G. Q-I-N-G. Pronounced Qing or Qing or something like that. The Qing dynasty. It lasted almost 400 years. Yes. But in the 19th century was probably the worst century in Chinese history because they lost control of the tea market, Mercado de Té. The English, Perfidia Albion, the English stole tea from China and took it to India in order to cultivate their own tea and not be dependent on China. They also tried to open up China, and they used opium, and they had the two opium wars in China, and the Chinese people were becoming addicted to opium. And then finally the Boxers Rebellion. It was a mess during the 19th century. That was one of the reasons, of the many reasons, for the the successful rise of communism with Mao Zedong, because China was just so poor and backward. And that's why the communists were able to successfully take control of the government in 1949, many years later, but in 1949. They probably would have taken control sooner, except for the Japanese in the Second World War. But in any case... But no, during the 19th century, the Chinese didn't produce, as far as I know, any business leaders of any kind. The Chinese. Another question. Does a fly sting its prey? Does a fly sting its prey? Well, I don't think a fly is a predator. Now, to sting is picar con picar con... Aguijón, right? To sting. When you say sting, you mean like a wasp or a bee, right? They sting. Picadura de abeja o avispa, we say the sting. Picadura de arañas, bite, porque muerden, bite. Now, prey is presas. You're asking si una mosca pica con aguijón a su presa, a sus presas. Does a fly sting its prey? My prey, your prey, its prey. P-R-E-Y. No, I don't think so. I don't think a fly is a predator. I think a fly gains nourishment from, I don't know, from different animals, including humans. They extract nutrients from the animals. But you know, I'm not an expert on that. I really don't know. More questions. Can inorganic matter feel emotions? No. Well, we don't know. Can inorganic matter feel emotions? No. I'm almost completely sure that inorganic matter doesn't feel emotions. Although Arthur Schopenhauer, the German philosopher, said that even inorganic matter, materia no orgánica, o sea, una piedra, has a will. You know, Arthur Schopenhauer, and Will. He had, yeah, he, his most famous treatise, Trattato Filosofico, was The World as Will and Representation. El Mundo como Voluntad. I suppose in Spanish the translation is El Mundo como Voluntad y Representación. The World as World. In Spanish, I'm going to find it. The World as Will and Reputation. A representation, excuse me, not reputation. Let's see. In English, excuse me, in Spanish, it's called El Mundo como Voluntad y Representación. Written, and now, in that, he's talking about will. En la voluntad. La voluntad is the strongest moving force, stronger than faith. You know, they say faith moves mountains, but... But he also said, I remember reading this, and he claimed that even inorganic matter has a will to continue, which I think is absurd. A mountain doesn't want to remain as a mountain. A mountain is simply there because of geological movements, seismic movements and other geological phenomena creates the mountains. The movement of tectonic plates, and that creates mountain ranges. Then those mountains are not resisting change because they cannot resist anything. Mountains eventually disappear because of erosion, wind erosion, and water erosion. And so, it was a bit silly. I didn't like Schopenhauer, and he wrote. He wrote a treatise on women that was very, very hard. He hated women. I think Schopenhauer, I'm pretty sure, Schopenhauer had a bad love relationship when he was young. He suffered a broken heart. And he, from that point on, he hated women. And so it was very, very strong, that book. Schopenhauer's book, wow, on women. Dice aquí, let's see. In his 1851 essay on women, Schopenhauer expressed opposition to what he called the Teutonic Christian stupidity of reflective, unexamined reverence for the female. Yes, reflexive. Reverencia reflexiva y no examinada hacia la hembra. He wrote, women are directly fitted for acting as the nurses and teachers of our early childhood by the fact that they themselves are childish, frivolous, and short-sighted. So he stated that women are childish. Childish means pueril. Frivolous and short-sighted, miopis. He opined that women are deficient in artistic faculties and sense of justice, and expressed his opposition to monogamy. It was hard. I read part of that book. I didn't finish it, but I was laughing. I said, I can't believe this guy was speaking this way. He hated women. It's very strong. So if you're interested, just curious, you go into On Women, Sobre las Mujeres. Un tratado. En torno a las mujeres. On Women by Arthur Schopenhauer. But in any case, the question you asked me is about inorganic matter. And you asked me if inorganic matter feels emotion. Of course not. Schopenhauer said inorganic matter possessed a will to survive, to continue, to persist, which I think is absurd. No, inorganic matter doesn't feel emotions. Question. Could the early Christians own and operate microwave ovens? You know, you're asking some really absurd questions today. microwave ovens began, I don't remember when, they began in the 1960s, 1970s. I think the first microwave oven, horno de microondas, the first microwave oven I remember in my life was in the 1970s, I believe. 1970s. So the early Christians who lived in the catacombs, they certainly didn't have microwave ovens. So they couldn't own nor operate microwave ovens. Question. A little, ask me some better questions. Come on. All right. Does the animal kingdom share certain traits with the plant kingdom? Well, that's an interesting question. Si comparte ciertos rasgos. Does the animal kingdom, reino animal, share certain traits with the plant kingdom? Well, yes, they share the same planet, but that's not a trait. The animal kingdom needs oxygen and expels carbon dioxide. And the plant kingdom needs to bring in carbon dioxide and it expels oxygen, basically the opposite. So it's a very good balance. They need each other. They share certain traits because they need the sun, sunlight. They both need sunlight. Well, there are some animals like moles, those topos, that apparently don't need sunlight, and certain plants that thrive in the shade. They don't need the sun. But they don't really share traits. Traits, you say rasgos de características. They don't really. Very few. Richard, are there any cockroaches behind your refrigerator? No, there aren't. There aren't any cockroaches behind my refrigerator. In the U.S., it's very common because there are more cockroaches in the United States. Europe is a very old continent, and the population density in Europe has always been greater, a lot greater than in the Americas, North America and South America. North America and South America are still wilder, mas silvestre, wilder than Europe. And so the bugs, insects and other types of bugs, predominate more. They are less endangered by humans. And so you find them. They're a lot. And it's very common in a house in the United States. If you suddenly grab the refrigerator and move it out, there'll be a family of cockroaches back there. No matter how much you try to clean, it's a constant battle. Here in Spain, no. You don't find cockroaches very often. Thank God. Okay. That's one thing about America. There are advantages and disadvantages to both sides of the Atlantic. One of the disadvantages in the United States and in Canada, Mexico, Central America, South America, is that there are a lot of bichos. There are a lot. Flying in the air, on the ground, etc. So, whatever. Any more questions or have you finished? Well, I have one more. Does it take a long time to travel from one galaxy to another? Well, what do you mean to travel? It's impossible for humans to travel from one galaxy to another. We don't have propulsion capabilities to do that. I mean, with our current propulsion capabilities and speed, it would probably take, 300 million years to exit our galaxy and enter another. I really don't know. Because the fastest we travel, I think, is about 30,000 miles an hour. And just to reach another galaxy moving at the speed of light, we would need at the speed of light, we would need maybe 100 years. I don't know. to exit our galaxy. What's the name of our galaxy? Our galaxy is called the Milky Way. The Milky Way. In Spanish, you call it La Vía Láctea. Láctea. We say the Milky Way. Se el camino lechoso, ¿no? The Milky Way. In my lifetime, and I don't think mankind, humanity on this planet will ever be able to develop a way to reach the outer limits of our own galaxy, and or much less reach the border and pass into another galaxy. It'll be nice. In science fiction, we always do these things on films and in books, but I don't think we'll see that as the human species. I don't think we'll ever develop that capability. But I have to go now, eh? My weekend is starting in 4 seconds, so have a great weekend. Take care.
Yo en mi caso me lancé a hacer el máster porque en mi trabajo necesitaba hacer presentaciones en inglés, necesitaba hablar mucho en inglés, incluso por teléfono. Entonces fue la razón principal por la que me lancé a hacerlo, para tener una fluidez alta en el idioma y además hacerlo con seguridad.
Tengo grandes problemas a la hora de hablar. Me puedo comunicar perfectamente, pero no hablo de una manera correcta. Y también cosas muy importantes, como el poder hablar en público sin tener que tener ese miedo o ese vacío a la hora de decir qué hago ahora o qué digo. Con el máster he solucionado ese tipo de problemas, la verdad.
Yo lo que más destacaría del máster serían los profesores. Ellos son unos